guys. Girls. People.
Hey, Phil.
Hello, people.
Hey, Phil.
Hey. I hear Gary and Troy. Who else?
Tammy.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi.
All right. So, I just came back from the Medical Fitness Network conference out in California. It was a good one. It was a good one. I really am seeing things change. I'd have to say it's still a grassroots effort, but when I told you guys way back when that there's opportunity here, people are starting to capitalize on it. There are some major organizations getting some really nice data. There are some major companies developing software. It's going to happen. Fitness and medicine are going to come together, and I think that the greatest opportunity is right now. 2 years from now, I don't know if that'll be true. And I really believe that I have an edge, and I'm inviting you guys to have an edge as well. So if I have an edge, and I'm inviting you to have an edge, we have to figure out what has given me an edge. And I have to say it has nothing to do with talent. It has nothing to do with intellect. Maybe it has a little bit to do with insight, maybe more than a little bit. Maybe it has some things to do with my own experience, which I'm sharing with you. But I would say in this moment, I can say without reservation, I am an expert in the reversal of chronic disease. That was really interesting. I just had lunch today with an 80-year-old doctor. I mean, he looks amazing. If he told me he was 65, I would have believed him. He's Indian by heritage, born in India, but he's never studied Eastern medicine, only Western medicine. He had a thriving practice in West Virginia. He made ridiculous amounts of money because he had a huge insurance-driven contract with the coal mining industry. And then he came down to Florida to live the good life, and now he consults with third opinions. Before somebody comes to him, they have to have two other opinions, and he gives his opinions to people who are kind of indecisive or unsure what to do. So what's really interesting is here's a very, very accomplished doctor. And when I spoke to him firstly about what I went through with my misdiagnosis and the lesion I had in my brain and the reversal of all of that, and I told him the medications that were used, he almost rolled his eyes. Not quite, but he looked surprised. And I said to him, that is the reaction I always get from conventional medicine doctors, because the doctor I found who diagnosed me correctly, Dr. Richie Shoemaker, was a pioneer. And he studied mycotoxins, and he really had some amazing breakthroughs. One is there was an entire town in Pennsylvania in an Amish community where there was an outbreak of MS, multiple sclerosis. Now, that's bizarre because MS is not contagious. So other doctors are giving them medications to ease their symptoms, and he said, this can't be. MS doesn't have outbreak. It has to be something else. And what was found was they had mold in the barns. So he treated members of this community, and they got well. They didn't have MS anymore. Similar, there was a town, I don't remember the name of the town, where the children were all developing ADD. Now, again, it's not contagious. How does this happen? And he found out that there was a bacteria, Fusarium, in the fish. The water was polluted, and they were all consuming this living toxin. So Dr. Richard Shoemaker became an expert in what happens when a living toxin moves into a human organism. And he found out it affects the optic nerve, and we could diagnose it with something called a visual contrast test. And he started looking at other biomarkers that other people weren't. And he found a foolproof diagnosis for mold toxicity. But when you bring this to conventional doctors who've never been exposed to it, they roll their eyes because it's so outside of the realm of what they've seen or what they do. With me, Dr. Shoemaker used two medications. One is Procrit. Procrit is a pretty severe medication. It increases red blood cell count. It was the Lance Armstrong drug. for me, a part of my brain was not receiving oxygen. And he knew from his work that Procrit would restore oxygen to that part of the brain. So the Procrit was like a miracle for me. I mean, within days, my symptoms were gone. And the other drug was a failed cholesterol medication called cholestyramine. So again, when I shared this with this doctor today, Dr. Lalit, he kind of like not only second-guessed, but keep in mind his career now is third opinions. So you could read his face, and his opinion was that's like voodoo medicine. But I'm sitting on the other side of the table, and I asked him, do I seem like somebody who is just kind of whacked out? Do I seem credible? And he goes, no, you seem very credible. I go, so if I'm telling you it made me well, can you at the very least accept that? And then we spoke about placebos. And we had a long talk, and I knew a whole lot of the research. And then we went to a conversation about reversing chronic disease. And I told him what I do. And he said, well, sure, of course that works. He goes, exercise works. I go, well, no, it's not just exercise. It's really understanding the inflammatory factors and reversing the inflammation and repairing parasympathetic recovery. And he goes, no, the problem is people are just too lazy to exercise. So I'm sharing this because here's a very accomplished doctor, 80 years old, and he's closed-minded. He wasn't ridiculing me. He wasn't putting down what I do. But he also wasn't very open-minded, and I can tell it would take a lot of work, you know, to get through to him. We had a pleasant lunch, but I don't think there was really any opportunity for us to do referral back and forth type stuff, which is what I guess I was hoping for initially. So not every doctor is open to what I'm talking about. In fact, most are not. But enough are for things to change. And the change has already started. The spark of the change has already started. So although with him as a representative of what I would call the stubborn AMA-based clinical conventional allopathic medical field, if you put those people to the side, then the rest of medicine, functional training doctors and doctors who are a little more progressive and have opened up to this, would acknowledge that I am an expert in reversing chronic disease. If I had an opportunity to demonstrate for Dr. Lalit what I can do with a group of 20 people who have type 2 diabetes or hypothyroidism, I think he too would agree I'm an expert. So I do have that. That gives me an edge. I don't know if there are many personal trainers who can say that. I also have a track record of evidence. Dating back to studies I did 8 or 9 years ago now, I'm adding to it basically every single week. So again, that gives me an edge. I don't know if there are a lot of personal trainers who have a track record of evidence that I am, as I do. And I think another advantage that I have, and this is just in terms of where I sit in my career, I am able to draw labs, to sell CBD oil, to offer IVs and bioidentical hormone treatments because of my affiliations. So if all of that gives me an edge, and I believe it does, then you would have to ask the question, what do I have that you don't have? And the answer is nothing. Nothing. You have all of this if you want it. There's nothing I have that you don't have. So when people say to me, well, you can do this because you know doctors. I don't know doctors because I was born knowing doctors. I don't know doctors because I live in a community of doctors. I know doctors because I made it a sort of mission. You know, I met Dr. Mark Hyman years ago, and we really hit it off, and we became friends. And when I was sick, I went to Dr. Hyman. And just out of friendship, he said to me, you should meet Dr. Bleiweiss. You don't know Dr. Bleiweiss? He's the greatest in functional medicine, and he's in South Florida. I said, no, I never met him. So he made the phone call, and I went to lunch with Dr. Bleiweiss, and we became friends. And Dr. Bleiweiss spoke at one or two of my Be Better family vacations. I attended medical events. Dr. Bleiweiss sometimes invited me to them. And at the medical events, I'd meet other doctors. And from that, I got to set up seminars for doctors. I knew nobody at Johns Hopkins when I got my hands on a list and invited them to a breakfast. These are all things that I did. So none of this was gifted to me. And by attending events and having conversations at the events, I was invited to speak at more events. And at more events, I met more doctors. And out of all the doctors I met, not everyone said, Phil, I want to work with you. But some did. And it's not only medical conferences. I spoke at the CBD conference, and I made some really good contacts there. So you guys can do all of this. I'm not saying go speak at a CBD conference. I'm just saying from where you are right now, this field is wide open for you. And I've spoken about it before. Nothing I'm saying is new, but I really want to give you guys the boost, because I just spoke to a group of trainers down in California who have less than you do, and they're ready to go. If you're going to get discouraged because you tried going to a doctor's office and he wasn't interested in talking to you, that's your own obstacle that needs to be overcome. Because believe me, I got shut down plenty of times. I mean, if I had a thin skin, I would have been offended by the meeting I had today. I wasn't. I make it a point to meet doctors. I didn't always have access. Now I do. Now, when I meet doctors, what do? Usually we just have a conversation about what I do, what they do. There have been times I've asked for referrals. When I first connected with an endocrinology group, I said to them, challenged them, I said, give me your 10 toughest people. Give me the 10 that are least likely, you think, to eat right and exercise, and let's see what I can do. And they did. They had nothing to lose. And since then, they probably referred 30 or 40 people to me. So when I did ask for referrals, it wasn't a pleading. It wasn't a, hey, doc, I need business. It was more in the spirit of, test me. Put me to the test. You give me some of your patients. I know you don't think that I can work this magic with people. I know you're hearing me, and sure, it makes sense rationally, but in the real world, your patients won't eat right. Your patients won't exercise. I know you think that, so put me to the test. What's the worst case? The worst case is the people don't stick to the program and the doctors were right. That's the worst case. So if that's your risk, take the risk. Many of my relationships were built on I'd like to work out a reciprocal relationship. See, I think when personal trainers go after doctors, they are saying to the doctor, I want you to refer me. And they get upset. The doctor doesn't want to refer me. Why should the doctor refer you? But that's different than a reciprocal relationship. What does a reciprocal relationship mean? I want to refer people to you. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've seen the world of conventional medicine change, more so since Obamacare. But there was a time, and still this is true to a high degree, where doctors don't need new patients because they connect with insurance companies. They just have an influx of new patients, and many of them can't even take new patients. But the doctor himself, herself, wouldn't usually walk away from you saying, I have somebody I'd like to refer to you. Especially if it's interesting, especially if it comes out of a conversation. You know, I have somebody who's been to 3 different doctors. She clearly has a hypothyroid condition. She's been on and off medication. Nobody's given her a straight answer. I would really like to refer her to you. Most doctors would say, okay, I'd like to see her. So a reciprocal relationship is, I have someone I'd like to refer to you, not give me clients, not, hey, doc, I know you're successful. I need patients. Send them to me. Just, I'm respecting your expertise, and I would like to refer somebody to you. So you can have a reciprocal relationship. The only key is you need to have people to refer. So you have enough knowledge to reverse chronic disease. If you think you might not, that's your own self-doubt. I'm telling you, you do. We've discussed so much. You know so much more than most personal trainers. You absolutely have the knowledge. There's no question. And honestly, in the great majority of cases, if you don't feel you have the knowledge and you do nothing more than sell people on my reboot program, you're going to develop a track record. So you have enough knowledge and you have a program that will work. You know a doctor. I know you do. You have to. You know a doctor. Now, it may not be the doctor, but you have to be bold and honest enough to ask that doctor for an introduction or two. hey, you know, doctor, I know you're an orthopedic foot surgeon and you really don't deal in the same market as me, but I would really like to connect with a couple of doctors who are internal medicine doctors or deal with family medicine or chronic disease. Can you introduce me to anybody? That's where it starts. I'm just telling you guys, you've got to get out of your own way. You know, in neurolinguistic programming, we call it a pattern interrupt. You're stuck in what you do because it's what you do. And it's really hard to get out of what you do because the new thing is not what you do. So at some point, you've got to interrupt your rhythm. You've got to change things. You've got to hit a different note. You got to take a different step. And what I'm telling you, and I mean this every single one of you, I know you personally, is you just need to take that step. And if that one doesn't bring the result, another step. And if that one doesn't bring the result, another step. What is the payoff? The payoff can be massive. I know you all earn different amounts, but I'm telling you, just through an affiliation with Medical Fitness, you could earn $200,000 a year without limit. So you know enough to reverse chronic disease, and you know a doctor who can introduce you to people. Phil, what do we say when we get introduced? You talk, you share your mission, your desire. You make it both altruistic and entrepreneurial. You can't say the wrong thing if you're honest. I mean, I do have a story. I was misdiagnosed with very serious disease. But you guys don't need that story. You can share my story. You can go, hey, I have a mentor who got misdiagnosed with Parkinson's. And man, he taught us a lot. You just got to find the courage, if nothing else. And then you share your mission with whoever you're talking to. My mission is to help people reverse chronic disease. I know I can do it. I have a desire to make people better. I want to change the community. I would love to change healthcare in the world, but at the very least, I want to do it in my neighborhood. And I want to be really successful. It's okay to say that. Altruistic and entrepreneurial are a really good combination. Remember the compass with on one side is the empath, the other side is the parasite. You want to be in the middle. The middle is altruistic and entrepreneurial. I help people and I deserve to be rewarded for that. Speak anywhere you can. If a new smoothie shop opens, speak at their grand opening. Is that going to bring doctors to your door? No, but it gets you in a rhythm. It gets you starting to do talks and make the talks about the subject matter. Speak about the subject matter that will compel doctors, even if there aren't any doctors in the room. Because the more you speak it, the more comfortable you become. I am really not a fan of sponsorships of like health day at the mall, because I see chiropractors standing with their spine waiting for people to show up. They stand there with very good posture and they smile and they go, hi. Once in a while somebody comes over and fills something out because they think they're going to win a cruise. So I'm not a fan of those. However, I think it's worth it once or twice to pay for a sponsorship if they'll let you speak. If they have an opportunity for you to get up and speak, because that makes you look like an expert. If you own a facility, put together a talk in your facility and promote it about reversing chronic disease. Now, the things I'm giving you may sound like it's a lot to do, but look at the payoff, and you guys are so close. I want to answer any questions you have so you will feel comfortable. So honestly, any question at any level, if it's advanced, great. And if it's basic, that's okay too. Yesterday, Dr. DeLuca is one of my partners. Dr. DeLuca and I ping-ponged a patient. The patient was a pilot, commercial pilot. And he was about 60 years old. He runs 45 minutes a day on a treadmill. And he has trouble with jet lag fatigue because he flies internationally. But he said he always runs no matter what. Like when he gets to a location, if he hasn't run that day, he's going to run before he goes to bed. He has a bigger gut than he believes he should have. And he doesn't eat carbs except when he does. So this is what we got out of talking to him. Now, what can you hear in that conversation? Well, he stays away from carbs, which means he becomes carb sensitive, and then every once in a while he eats carbs. So he's likely got insulin resistance. This is just from what I heard. Likely got insulin resistance, so when he goes on a carb binge, he's probably going to store fat. Probably has very limited glycogen utilization, and he runs 45 minutes a day, often in a state of exhaustion, so his stress load exceeds his recovery. So although the lifestyle is different than the person who's just behind a desk, the biochemistry and the physiology is very similar. It's pretty obvious as we're talking to somebody why they're in the condition they're in. So both Dr. DeLuca and I are in the room, and I started explaining about stress versus recovery. Dr. DeLuca jumps in, and he turns it into thyroid versus adrenals. Now, he's adding to what I said. I said, listen, you're saying your stress level is high, and in order to recover, your systems have to be calm. And because you're getting to a place and you have this adrenal stress, I didn't work out today, and then you go work out. So now you're amping things up more, and then you're exhausted. Even when you sleep, you're not recovering. And then he took over and he goes, your adrenals and your thyroid are completely imbalanced and your thyroid starts to produce RT3, which interrupts the Krebs cycle. And then I turned it into, so what we're going to do is we're going to help you to build back your parasympathetic system. So we started with stress recovery. Then the language got a little more medical, thyroid adrenals. Then we got a little more scientific, sympathetic, parasympathetic. And as we're talking, I said we ping-ponged because he'd go. And as we're doing this, the patient is beginning to sob. And I know what this is. This is the essence of the stress. This is not uncommon that people go into the state of an emotion, and it's a heavy emotion. And especially in cases where they go, I was healthy until I was 40, and then suddenly I got thyroid issues and I put on 8 pounds. Suddenly, whenever there's like that sudden change, almost always is an emotional trigger. So assumptively, I asked, I said, what was the trigger event? And right away he answered. He said, I had to bury my father a year and a half ago. And then in that moment, Dr. DeLuca and I agreed upon the plan of attack. We're going to get labs. We're going to do a full run on adrenals and thyroid. We're going to check his sex hormones, and we're going to put him on the metabolic reboot. It's the result. The beautiful, it was kind of like throwing a baseball around for a team that's done it 1,000 times. What I'm calling the ping-ponging between Dr. DeLuca and I was the result of connecting at the level of having seen this before again and again and again and again and again. It's what we see. It's not always a pilot. It's a single mom. It's a stressed out businessman. But it's the same. So this is not new to us. So that may be the only thing you don't have is the experience of doing it again and again and again and again. But you can't do it again and again and again and again until you do it. There's nothing I am doing that you can't do. By the way, the pilot invested $1,250 for a 90-minute consult and 3 follow-up visits with IVs. Now, I think back to struggling to ask people for $15 a session. Really. I remember. And now to ask somebody for $1,250, it's almost like, really, that's all? So I told you years ago this is the future. If you don't see it now, you're going to see it. Next month, I'm going to the Rejuvenative Medicine Summit here in South Florida. The IFM is growing. That's the Institute of Functional Medicine. It's growing massively. The annual American Functional Medical Association is growing. It's happening. It's moving, and it's moving at a really good pace. So the question is, do you want to get connected to this? If the answer is no, then you shouldn't. But if the answer is yes, but I'm afraid, then you should. If the answer is yes, but I don't know if I have the right stuff, then you should. Guys, I wouldn't be telling you to do this if you didn't have the right stuff. CBD is massive business. It was about a year and a half ago, I spoke at their conference. I mean, I cannot believe the growth that has happened with CBD in medicine, in conventional medicine too now. Stem cell and PRP, they're finding their way into the mainstream. And in fact, recently, you know, the FDA was scrutinizing a lot of doctors who are using stem cell, and now they seem to have loosened their pressure because customer demand is so great. So when I say this is the future, and also now when I say this opportunity is fleeting because soon it's going to be commonplace, you know, I taught personal trainers to open the 800-square-foot profit monster at a time that there weren't a lot of personal training studios. Now there are tons of personal training studios everywhere. This is the same kind of thing. This is like the ground floor before this starts to be taken over by business people who have $1.5 million to invest in a wellness facility. This is the opportunity for you to jump on it. So when I say this is the future and this opportunity is fleeting, I absolutely mean it. In Southern California, just last weekend, I shared this with doctors and trainers, and already a good number of them have contacted me saying they're moving on it. They're making contacts. They're creating agreements based on everything we spoke about. So I'm hoping you guys have some thoughts or questions, because you can tell I'm enthusiastic at the very least. I see the potential for all of you, and there's nothing I'd rather see than all of you move into the space, not instead of what you do now, to supplement what you do now, until ultimately it replaces what you do now in terms of income, and then what you do now is purely an option, honestly. Does anybody have any thoughts on this at all? And I really appreciate it, because even if the thoughts are, you know, Phil, we've heard this from you enough, we get it, we're going to go at our own pace, that's okay too. Because if this is a one-way conversation, and I'm not really knowing how it's being received. I know what I intend, but I could use a little bit of back and forth.
I'm super excited about this concept. I just need to move faster, I think, is what my problem is.
I'm sorry. Say it again, Trey.
I just need to move faster, actually, you know, set up more appointments, more speeches. I think I'm just kind of going a little slow because I don't feel fully confident, although I have great belief in the reboot. I think I'm pretty weak at talking with doctors, you know.
You won't feel confident until you do it, and you won't be good with doctors until you fumble once or twice. That's the frustrating part, but it's the reality. You know, like, you got to try it and then go to bed at night going, shit, I should have said this, I should have said that, and then you'll be better the next time. So, yeah, you know, I'm saying go faster, not because I want you to hurry, but get that out of the way, you know? Like, get past the point of this is practice and get to the point where it actually happens. So, Troy, you took some good steps. One step won't do it, though. So I like that you sent the letters out. You got no response, which is kind of what we would expect. It would be nice if you did, but at least you made the first outreach, right?
Correct.
Did you try following up with the letters? With phone calls?
I did make phone calls and wasn't able to get through, you know, past the
gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Were you able to have a conversation with the gatekeeper?
I was able to have a conversation with each of the gatekeepers because I sent it to three, talked with each of them.
So tell me how those conversations went.
You know, I just they were wondering what I was calling about, so I explained that and told them that I was looking to come and have a lunch with, you know, for the staff and explain more about what I do and how we could possibly partner up. And then also, when it led to a point where that didn't seem like that was really an option for them, they didn't seem to be too interested in that. Then I went to, you know, the possibility of maybe doing a doctor and me lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, well, let me get your information. I'll have them call you back. And I have.
Okay.
Time,
Okay. So I am going in for eye surgery that was scheduled next Thursday, the 21st. So before I go for surgery, I had to go for medical clearance. So I went to my doctor's office just to get medical clearance yesterday. It was a very quick exam. You know, checked my blood pressure, looked at my eyes, my throat. And when I was standing at the desk on the way out, there were two reps waiting. One was selling a software program, and the other was selling home health services, wanted to connect with the doctors so she can get referrals. So just understand this, Troy. The gatekeeper meets these people all day long. So I would try it with a different approach. Let's imagine something first. How many clients do you have? I want a real answer to that. That's not imagination. How many clients do you have?
Oh, I have no idea.
20? More?
Yeah, I would say 30. Plus,
okay.
I have group class, 30 personal training clients, yeah.
So including your group classes, probably 50?
100. No, 100.
100. And then if we include all the people you've had in the last 5 years, maybe 150?
Easily. Absolutely. Very easily.
Okay. So let's say 200. Okay? Absolutely. So here's the different approach. I am working to help people reverse chronic disease. I'm not a doctor. We're having great success. But I need a doctor to refer my clients to. I've had over 200 people come through my facility. And I need a doctor, and I don't trust just any doctor, and I'd like to form that kind of relationship. Would it be possible, and I'll be happy to buy lunch for everyone in your office, for me to meet the doctor, because I would love to send people there. Can you tell me something about what you guys do? Oh, he's the greatest doctor in Battle Creek, and let me tell you why. So suddenly, she's talking to you rather than trying to figure out how to get you off the phone.
Sure.
So it's a different approach, but I think, as I said earlier, like you got to get through the fumble to get to the touchdown, and the fumble is necessary. So, okay, you tried it with three, and you got through to zero, so clearly that technique doesn't work, but at least you got in the game. So the next step is I have people, and I need to refer my people, but, man, I'm not going to refer them to any doctor. I'm looking for a good doctor. I'd like to come in there, see, you know, what you guys do. I'd be happy to buy lunch for the office. I'll do a little presentation, but I'd really like to meet the doctor. Can you tell me something about that office or how you treat patients? You know, and if she goes, we don't care about our patients, then you're going to go, okay, goodbye. But I don't think she's going to say that. I think the only way she can answer your question is to go, oh, my God, he's a great doctor. You know, I refer my daughter to him. I wouldn't send – whatever she says, it's suddenly a conversation as opposed to she's swatting flies.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
So, Troy, if you are prepared to do this, with every step you take, call me or post on the board, and I'll direct you forward. Because I'm telling you, I've been where you are. And once you kind of break in, like you're not comfortable with doctors, but once you break in, they become your peers and you stop seeing them as doctors. They're just people you work with. You know, they're still doctors, but it's not an intimidating word anymore.
Sure. I guess my next question would be, because as we looked it up and looked through everything in town, I might have to go outside of town, obviously, because there's only literally three private practice.
I'd stay with those three. I'd go around, I'd go with those phone calls and go, you know, you don't even have to reference that you spoke to her last week, but you can just come at it again. Say, hey, I'd really like to meet with the doctor. Let me tell you what I do. And really, I'm looking for a doctor to refer people to. Are you guys somebody that I would refer people to? You know, kind of make her tell you why they're good. Not in an arrogant way, but it's very different than saying, I want to create a partnership, which really sounds to them like I want the doctor to send me people.
Sure. Okay. All right.
And here's my promise to you. As of now, no personal trainers have done this. Not one. So it's not like she's going to go, oh, another personal trainer. You know, when somebody comes in selling paper or printing, it's like, oh, another printer. But nobody has done this before. So you can't do it wrong. You can only figure out how to do it better.
Okay.
Anyone else? Any thoughts at all in listening to this or on anything? Fear and monsters are the only obstacles.
Phil?
Yeah.
I think I'm not speaking for everybody here. I'm speaking for myself, but for the idea of you know, the conglomeration with the doctor is exciting. The obstacles that I have, I feel are, I don't speak the same way you do about, you know, chronic disease. I mean, you know, I have the raw version of it. And I think the reason why it's so easy for you to interact that way is because of the way you speak, the way you articulate. You articulate, you know, in a very professional way and, you know, a non, you know, there's no hesitation. There's no, you have the confidence for whatever reasons, I guess, because you do it over and over again. So I'm thinking maybe, you know, in my case, you know, like I have doctors that I interact with and I have approached them on this, but they're not, they don't have their own practice. So I know that in order to achieve this goal, I would have to find somebody who had a private practice. But I think the education part and to, you know, interact with the doctor on that level that he's even going to listen or she's going to listen to you takes the level that you're at or near that. I'm not saying this with a lack of confidence. I know I can cure chronic disease. I just don't have the same foundation to speak about it like you do. I noticed that just by listening to you speak, and it creates an insecurity for myself. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but you know, I'm just being honest.
Gary, I you know, at this conference I just came from, I did a pre-con, a workshop with J.R. Burgess, who owns a company called Rejuve. He was the number one purchaser of stem cells in the country. He just won an award for that. And we did a workshop together. And it was trainers and doctors and a few PhDs in the workshop. And it was really good. Spoke about opportunity. It was a full-day event. So first I spoke about the opportunity. Then we did I call it my creative tension workshop, where we taught them to overcome their fears and really create a future memory. And it was, you know, very workshop-y. They did it in groups of 3 and 4. And then we got, you know, into kind of wrapping it up. And there was a woman in the room. As a matter of fact, I have her book right in front of me. The book is called My War on Aging, Moving Through Life by Nancy K. Burnham. So she was in the room, and at first, everybody was very impressed by her because, you know, when people were kind of getting to know each other in the workshop, she said, I'm 72 years old. I became a personal trainer at 65. And she listed all of her ailments. And then I met a chiropractor who became my personal trainer, and then I did competitive powerlifting at 64 years old, and at 65 I got certified, and I've taken every certification and have all these credentials. So everybody's going, wow, you know, what an inspiration. But then throughout the day, every time she'd raise her hand, she'd go, well, doctors don't really want to talk to me because I'm 72. And at a certain point, the perception of her went from, wow, how inspirational she is, to, oh my God, is she creating her own obstacles? So I called her on it, and I said, listen, the only one who sees the 72 as an obstacle is everyone in the room right now because you keep telling us it is. So when you walked in here, the only one who saw 72 as the obstacle was you. But you have said it so many times that now everybody in the room goes, oh, well, yeah, nobody wants to talk to her. She's 72. I said, you got to stop doing that. So, Gary, you know what? I have spent years and years and years speaking in front of groups and learning and studying, and I don't expect anybody here to do this. You know, I've gone to great lengths. I've gotten on airplanes to learn from mentors, you know, way before it was fashionable. I went knocking on doors of John Perillo and Joe Weider. So I don't expect other people to do that, but the confidence came from insecurity and learning and taking steps and falling on my face. But I'm telling you, I saw the people who are doing this at this conference, and you are better than them. They don't have a track record of curing chronic disease. You do. So, you know, don't look at me and go, well, he talks better than I do, so I can't do this. Listen to what I'm saying and hear the message underlying it. And Gary, I'm saying you've helped people reverse disease. That's what it comes down to. So the doctor's not partnering with you because he loves the way you speak. He's partnering with you because two things. One, you can bring outcomes that he can't. That's one. But the bigger one is you're going to help him grow his business. So it has really – the only thing that you're running into is not a limitation in the way you speak. It's a limitation in the way you believe in yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So this is why I'm saying you have to fall on your face once or twice. Because if you wait for the moment that you're going to wake up and go, hey, I can do this the way Phil would do it, it's not going to happen by itself. You've got to kind of get out there and take some chances. But as I said, the worst that happens is they don't connect with you. That's the absolute worst. So only when you do it will you know. I mean, listen, I meet people who they go, I've always wanted to be a trainer, but I work for the post office. You know, one day I'm going to get certified. Okay, but until you get certified, you can't, like, it's like at some point you got to step outside your comfort zone. And when you do it, suddenly you go, hey, this is kind of easy. So believe me, I'm talking to you years after I went through the experience of starting to see doctors as peers. But it didn't happen by itself, and it didn't happen because I speak well. It happened because I believed it could happen. And I believe it could happen for everyone in this group. The question is, do you? So that's why I say fear and monsters, procrastination, distraction, money worry, negative talk. You know, those are the only things. Those are the only obstacles. There are no others. So, Gary, you should connect with a local doctor and offer to do in-office consults for the staff. How about that?
For the staff.
For the staff.
Oh, for the
I'm just saying.
Staff.
Yeah, let's. I want you to do something where you can look back and go, "Wow, they really thought I was smart," because that's what'll happen. Listen, you will meet somebody who works in a doctor's office who has a medical condition. I don't mean a severe medical condition. I mean a blood sugar issue, a thyroid issue. When you speak to them, they haven't heard this from the doctor. I'm telling you they haven't. In almost every practice that I go into, staff members ask me questions. It's not because the doctor's bad. The doctor's just schooled differently. The doctor is taught to investigate and prescribe. They're not taught to educate. So they don't educate their staff. But you're not going to know that until you do it. So what I'm saying is, if you went into a place and you spoke to three or four staff members, they'd all walk out going, oh, my God, I can't believe what Gary explained to me about my lifestyle, about my stress, about the wine I'm drinking. Nobody ever explained to them before. But most of all, what it'll do for you is it'll give you that sense of, I can't believe they didn't know that. And then you become empowered because you go, hey, if the staff doesn't know it, the patients certainly don't. I do know, and I'm not only talking to Gary, I'm talking to everyone, I do know there's a level of fear. I do. And I want you to know I had that same fear. But I'm also seeing the other side of it. And, you know, in life, when we find an opportunity, we can share it with other people, but, you know, we can't force them. So I'm just trying to get you guys to see it, and once you see it, to act on it. So, Gary, on your list of things to do, visit one doctor's office a week. Just try it. You know, when I talk about this, people will say, well, how do you just walk into a doctor's office and get that? I don't know. That's my answer. I have no idea. I've never done that. You know, all of my affiliations came through everything I said earlier, networking, going to events. Find out where there's a local medical conference, a day conference. Just, there are plenty of doctors in New Jersey. You know, ask the doctors who you do know, Gary, are the ones you train. Be honest with them. Say, hey, I really want to connect with somebody in private practice because I know I can help them help their patients. How do I get connected with them? You know, what events do they go to? all doctors have to get continuing education. And any of the doctors who work with you may work at hospitals or work with hospitals that have continuing education programs. Some of those might be classes you could even attend. And again, you don't have to. This wasn't in your list of goals that you set before you met me. I'm just telling you, the opportunity to make a ridiculous amount of money doing what you love to do is here now. Tammy, have you given any further thoughts to your positioning? Because what I'm going to encourage right now is I think that you and Troy should connect. I don't know if you want to call it accountability partners or coaches, but I think you should connect once a week and discuss that with each other. And I'll tell you why in a minute, but I'm curious, have you made any headway on that?
On the doctor's part?
No, on you refining your position. You know, when we spoke before it turned 2019, you said one of your greatest frustrations is you want to have a website, but you don't really know how to kind of bring everybody in and say what you are without listing a whole bunch of different things that you do, right?
Right.
So I'm just wondering, have you given that any thought? Have you kind of gotten clearer on that?
Well, I've been working on that. But part of, like, my story is also the healing part. And, like, you know, I sent you that picture of my leg. Do you remember that?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
It is forever ingrained in my hippocampus.
I know. It's scary. But I went and saw Dr. Mike. And after I did biofeedback on myself in the parking lot before I went in, and I already know it's heavy metals, and I still have alkaline fillings, and it's getting, you know, worse, and then the whole thing with my skin. So anyways, my biofeedback came up as his did, which I was surprised too, but he's like, your lymphatics and your, not the lymphatics, your thyroid and your adrenals are fantastic, and that's where I've always struggled. And he's like, well, what are you doing different? So I told him about the Thrive, but my liver, kidneys, and my lymphatic are just backed up. And that's why every time I was doing, you know, shake and having die-off, I was having bad reaction, like skin, bad. So all that in my leg is all lymph from the lymph, because that's your left side. That's all lymph, right? And I pulled it up. So we're on a plan, which I'm so grateful for, because, you know, you start going, okay, well, I've checked every avenue. So I'm documenting, and I'm going to start talking about that. And just the healing and where I was, because everyone's like, well, you're so fit. How come, you know, you have all these issues? You don't look like you do. But I, you know, so anyways, I'm going to start speaking on that platform, and then talking about healing foods and, you know, that whole part. And I would like to do, you know, that my idea is when I do a place is to do like a wellness thing too, but like have, you know, the training aspect, we're running people through the health programs, the metabolic reboot and stuff, and then also having like a little kitchen in there to do, because people keep asking to come to their house to talk about healing foods and kind of have a platform with that, which is funny because I saw Jenny is doing something like that out of her house. But
are you still set on the idea of opening your own place?
Here and there. I mean, I've had the feelers out and looking. I do because I have this concept, but, you know, then do I need a physical space? Right now I do for the income, but to maybe down the road phase out of that. So anyways, what I'm saying is I am a little bit more clear on the, you know, on the branding and, you know, but I just, you know, I don't know. I still need the marketing directive and just to clarify it. So, and I'm open to help from the group.
Let's try something. Let's pretend I am Dr. Jones and I am an obstetrician, okay? So I meet you. And, hey, nice to meet you. And you go, who are you? And I go, I'm Dr. Jones. I'm an obstetrician. Who are you? What would you say?
I would say that I am a personal trainer and a health catalyst. And, you know, on top of personal training, I am connected to a group and that I coach in that we run health programs to reverse chronic disease, lifestyle management. I know that's not strong, but that's just off the way.
Okay. Troy, what would you say?
Whoops, had you muted, sorry.
I guess I would say, just because that's what I've always said, I would just say I'm a personal trainer, and now with this new additional stuff that we're doing, I'd talk a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to practice that as well, I believe, and get an actual, so it's an immediate response without any hesitation or thought.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I say now. I'm Phil Kaplan. I help people reverse chronic disease. Now, you have to understand, in a setting where I may be at a medical conference and everyone there is a doctor, they don't say what they do for people. They just say their name, or they'll say what kind of doctor they are. I'm not lying. So, you know, hey, I'm Jeffrey Scott. I'm an endocrinologist. Who are you? I'm Phil Kaplan. I help people reverse chronic disease. And then there's kind of this moment of silence, and they go, are you a doctor? And I go, no, I'm an exercise physiologist, but I work in the medical field. And now we have a dialogue. So I've learned that if I just say, hi, I'm Phil Kaplan, I'm a personal trainer, there's this immediate, like, oh, shit, I got stuck talking to the trainer in the room. You know what I mean? Like, it's a networking event. Oh, my God, how am I going to get out of this one? He's just a personal trainer. But once I start with I help people reverse chronic disease, now we have a conversation. So they go, well, how do you do it? And they go, it's a complete strategy. I call it an exercise and eating intervention. So it's not the language of a personal trainer. I don't say I take people through workouts. So that's what I want you to think about, Tammy, is how in an introduction, because, again, you just gave me a whole lot. All of it is true to you, but it's a whole lot. So, you know, how does somebody land at Tammy's site and go, oh, my God, I want to connect with her? Not, oh, now I know everything about her, but I want to connect with her. And that's the goal. The goal is I want to connect with Tammy. So, Troy, I think you have a similar challenge in that your website is very generic for a personal training studio. It's not magnetic where it makes people go, my God, I want to connect with you. I happened to meet Quincy Jackson this past weekend, and he's amazing. Great, great guy. He's built like a brick. He's a big guy. Does anybody know the name? He was military, and he became a chef, and he has been the in-house White House chef for Clinton, Bush, and Obama. And he no longer works at the White House. But he met this woman who invented a portable kitchen, and the business she was in was teaching children about nutrition. And it's a really cool setup. So they were sponsors at this event, and they cooked meals right out there for people. They made a butternut squash soup, you know, all healthy stuff. And they made chicken skewers, and really, really a great, great, great guy. I'm just saying the positioning, because he cooked for the White House. And I noticed, like, I saw him three different days, and everyone asks him the same questions. Like, when there's a crowd around him, everyone goes, well, who was your favorite? You know, and he always answers it like it's the first time he was asked. He goes, who's my favorite? Let me see. I guess it depends what you're asking about. Like, who's my favorite to cook for? Well, that would have to be Obama. So a genuine, likable guy. But why I'm sharing that is because what he sent out is people want to connect with him. It wasn't all, you know, once he mentioned White House, it's interesting, but the way he spoke to them, people thought, I want to connect with him. So that's what I'm saying about you, Tammy, is they don't need to hear all those words. They just need to hear that you're the one who solves the mysteries of people with plaguing chronic issues. You know, if that's the case. You know, she looks deeper than the doctors do. She helps you to heal through natural mechanisms, including quantum, I don't know, however you want to say it. I'm just saying you got to put it together in a way that people are going to go, oh, my God, I never heard that before. I want to connect with you. So when I say, hey, I'm Phil Kaplan, I help reverse chronic disease, if there's somebody next to us who's not in the conversation and they have chronic disease, you better bet they're tuned in. Now, I'm not ashamed of saying I'm a personal trainer, but I know that will attract nobody, right? Hey, I'm an accomplished doctor. Who are you? I'm a personal trainer. Next. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That is so,
so
true.
So I was hesitant.
Yeah.
But you always say don't be afraid to say you're a personal trainer, because remember we had that.
I'm not afraid to say it. Right.
No, yeah, but I mean, but that's why I put that up front. So that does help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if I said I'm a personal trainer and I cure chronic disease or I reverse chronic disease, I think it's every bit as good. Because that's what I'm saying, where no one else is really doing this in the room. What I'm doing is I'm saying, here's what I do for people. And if I'm in a group of doctors, they want to hear how I do this. Because you know what? They don't reverse chronic disease. So if you guys are willing and you could, you know, email each other and see if you can work this out, I think it would be good for the two of you just for a matter of weeks to try to say, and you won't land in the same place, you'll be different, but how do I present myself in few words so people want to connect with me? And then once you each have that, in a sense, creating your identity, then we'll work to create the website. Then I'd say, you know, sign up for Squarespace or just an inexpensive web company where you can do it yourself. You don't need a webmaster. You don't need to know code or HTML. But the first thing is you have to know the position. As a matter of fact, Tammy, the reason I thought of Quincy is if you open your own facility, you might want to invest in one. It's a $10,000 investment, but that would be awesome to have that mobile kitchen.
I mean, I could do that.
Yeah.
Because then you could go to different places with that too. You're not just stuck. And, you know, it's a way to get in, even do lunch and learn, which I've done at Ruth Chris before.
Yeah,
but not with
I actually should put you in touch with his partner. I can't think of her name. I think it's Ann Butler. I'm pretty sure. I'll send you her contact information. You could just reach out. Okay. You can tell her that you're not prepared to buy one now, but
right.
Phil suggested that you just find out about it because you're considering opening a facility.
Right.
And then if I were you, I would really get clear on just opening your own place. It's been kind of a dream that you're not willing to fully commit to for a very long time.
Yep. Well, no, I'm definitely, like, I'm looking, I'm putting the fillers out there. What I meant is just I go back and forth because just I'm trying to find a place in that location, and I'm like, okay, you know, I even talked to the developer. They own all that property around where we're at, and they just built, like, 900 apartments, and then he owns all the warehouse space, and there's, like, a CrossFit back there, and the school here that's the, you know, the wealthy Lake Highland Prep. And they have, like, their wrestling thing. So I asked the guy, because somebody put me in touch with them, Kiri that does your programs, they own a salon, and they cut his hair. So I talked to him the other day, but he just said, check back. So now I'm like, crap, because that was one of the, in that area, a way to get in without being, like, you know, a storefront because it's getting so expensive around there.
Let me tell you what, let me give you an example of what you can leverage. And I don't want you to start totally thinking this way right now, but
right.
Let's just say that you have patients who are insurance-based patients and you connect with a doctor who can accept insurance, just theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain insurance-based opportunities where you could milk it. Now, I'm not telling you to. I'm just telling you, I see how some doctors do it. So, for example, workman's comp. Workman's comp is willing to pay for very generous physical therapy. So I see a lot of physical therapy centers that survive on workman's comp. Another is some doctors have learned to tap into Medicaid. It's a very little per patient, but they get huge volume of patients. If you connected with a doctor like that, and the doctor created a comprehensive program, you could theoretically do a nutrition workshop for 30 or 40 patients, and they could bill the insurance for it. I'm just saying, I don't want you to pigeonhole what I'm saying is to do what I do, is sit in an office and consult with people for $150 and put them on a reboot program. I'm just saying that connection with medicine gives you so much opportunity, and the timing is now. And I'm sharing this with you, Tammy, only because there's no doctor who's going to do a nutrition class.
Right.
You know what I mean? Even if you did a healthy back program for people who got injured through workman's comp, you know, the doctor can get that covered through insurance, and you can get 30 people in a room. Each one's insurance is paying for it. So when you see the real opportunities, it's vast. So that's why I'm saying when you start to think in terms of having your own place, there's no limit to what you can do within your own specialty. I think cooking classes can be a huge revenue stream for you. Not necessarily even cooking, healthy meal classes, right?
Right, yeah. And just teach them, even, you know, now, I mean, like I said, I just get a lot of requests, and I probably just need to start doing them, like do one, and, you know, because
give me an example of a request lately. What did they ask you to do?
Well, because I post on my, like, my Instagram stories, like meals that I make, and like homemade seasonings and stuff like that. And like today someone said, why don't you just, I wish you'd, I know you're teaching, but would you just make those and sell them, even if you did it for your clients or whatever. And so that, and then I had somebody say, you know, I'd love for you to come to my house and, you know, and teach meal prep, or, you know, go over some, you know, ways to cook. Because a lot of people think they have to use a recipe and they don't. So, you know, just to be able to be in front of them and teach them and show them and have them hands on.
So what if you said, what if you said that twice a month you do a cooking class and you charge $650 for it, twice a month, you know, every other Tuesday or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll go to people's homes, but they can make it into a little party. They could bring the neighbors and they all pay $65 and there are 10 of them.
Right.
I mean, if you're saying people are offering you stuff, have the product to sell them. And if you start to create that as a product you offer, when you have your own facility, you start to charge $65 a person to come to your cooking class. You sell 20 people. Troy, would you be willing to just interact with Tammy and just try to help each other create a position? Just because I think both of you have the same struggle, but you're very different than each other. So I think you could coach each other because you're not coaching yourself.
I would, for sure. Absolutely.
Tammy, you up for it?
Yep.
What were you going to say, Troy?
I agree with the website. We had been going to redo that for about 5 or 6 years. So I ended up hiring a company to do it, but I just don't think it's going to be up and running in a week or so. I think it's.
Are they just doing the visual, the graphics, or are they doing like the branding and positioning and all of that too?
They're supposed to be doing all of that too. So, but as I look at it, I think it's, you know, it's a nice generic site, and I feel the same way. But my struggle is, I don't know how to. Yeah, I'm struggling with what you're asking me to do because I don't know how to do that.
Well, that's why I think the two of you will coach each other, because you both have that same struggle, and I think you're both sort of stuck. Like, we can talk about it on the call, but from call to call, I don't feel progress. So if the two of you can interact that way, I think you'll have some breakthroughs.
Okay.
Good. Tasso, I know, is at the races.
Nope, I'm
so,
here.
Hey, Tasso. I'm going to say to you, have you been on the whole call?
I've been off and on. A little bit of a club.
I'm going to say that you should devote between 4 and 10 hours a week, and I know that's a big range, but it's up to you to decide how many, to creating an in-house medical connection. I mean, the more I think about the opportunity that you have there to converting that square footage, the more opportunities I see, from consultations to stem cells to some of the things I just mentioned to Tammy. You already have the space. So, and I'll, you know, if anytime you want to call and look for some direction, I'll give it to you. But I think you should really block out hours per week that you're going to do it, because that's the only thing, your distraction is the only thing holding you back from it.
Right. And we've been on that path since you and I spoke, to be honest with you, Phil.
Yeah. So, you know, I think Troy earlier said it's down to speed. You know, he's just not doing things quickly, and I think that's true for all of you. We have a call, and it sounds good, and then nothing really until the next call. But I want you to start to move in between. Here's the weaponry you have. Doctors you know, even if those doctors are not ideal, you're going to ask them, who can you introduce me to that's in private practice? Who can you introduce me to that might work with me on helping people reverse chronic disease? Clients you have who are friendly with doctors, they don't have to necessarily be married to doctors. They could simply have friends who are doctors. Medical offices that might have you come in for a talk, or if you want to buy lunch for the staff, as we just spoke about with Troy. And in addition to that, doctors you know, clients you have who are friendly with doctors, and medical offices that might let you come in for a talk, create a list of all the clients you have who could use a medical consult. I know you all have some. Then, when you call on local doctors, you use the message I suggested to Troy. I'm looking for a doctor I feel comfortable referring my patients to. But again, you've got to have at least a couple of patients to refer. So when you look at your clients, just say, who do I know that, given the right circumstance, I would refer them out to a medical doctor for an evaluation? You have to be different than other trainers. You are. But realize now, other trainers in your area are not doing what I'm suggesting. The time will come that they are. It's getting close. It's just not here yet. I'm talking to an agency that I am not supposed to reveal who it is, ISSA, that they want to do a medical fitness certification. ACE, I believe, bought Mike Jones' certification. It's moving in that direction. But I'm telling you, it's still young enough that if you go out there and approach doctors, nobody has approached them yet. The day will come that they're going to go, oh, another personal trainer? And if you really invest 90 days in this, I guarantee you will form at least one good connection. Right now, it's only having the courage and the focus. I told you that I did this workshop and we did the creative tension exercise for about 2 hours, from 11 till 1. We talked about the EEM. I taught them about the circle of discontent. Then everybody in the room created a future memory. Then we attached emotion to it. I brought some people up to the front of the room. I had them go into their future memory. They were elated. We got a whole lot of emotion. And then I broke them into groups, and they learned to do the stand in your circle of discontent, step out along the creative tension line, stop, 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 and eventually move into their future memory. It is so powerful to see the change. It is so amazing to see the people who walked into that room and the people who walked out, because they walk in hoping and they walk out with absolute belief that they're going to achieve something great. And a part of what makes this work is the pattern interrupt. I said earlier, you do what you do because it's what you do. So all of you have found a groove, you know, and you get to your facility a certain time and you train clients from a certain time until a certain time, and then you go eat your meal, and then you go home. You've developed this routine, and it's what you do. It's not what you do because you think it through all the time and go, what is the best thing for me to do? It's what you do because it's what you do. So when I teach people the creative tension exercise, the reason it's so powerful is they're standing in their circle of discontent, which is, in a sense, their present. They're closing their eyes and thinking of their present reality, and specifically focusing on what it is that brings them discontent. And they're starting to access this in their brain. They're going to see it, they're going to feel it, and it makes them feel pretty rotten. Now, it's not because their life is rotten, it's because the stuff they normally paint over, because they don't want to confront it, whether it is not enough money, or they're having trouble with their bills, which would be not enough money, or they're bored with their career, or whatever it is, they're going through their day-to-day-to-day doing what they do because it's what they do, painting over the pain of what they don't want to confront, but it's there. So in the circle of discontent, as they're confronting it, emotion comes up, and they do tend to get emotional physically. You see them start to cry a little bit. But then what stops it is they take their hands and they go, stop, 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 and they step out of the circle. That's called a pattern interrupt. In neurolinguistic programming, when you're running a particular program in your mind that you run over and over and over again, it has become so wired that the only way to break it is to do something radically different. So the stop literally stops the program from running, and now they step out of the circle, which is saying to the brain, we're somewhere else. And then I walk them through a process where, boom, they move into the future memory. They're creating new wiring. So the reason that exercise is so powerful is we're able to incorporate all of those strategies into a workshop. So if you understand the power of that at any level, I'm suggesting you need the pattern interrupt in your life if you want to change your career. I know somebody well who just went through a divorce. He was married for 20 years-ish, and he was about 200 pounds overweight. Seriously. And his wife asked him again and again and again to take care of his health. You know, she's in fitness field. Shouldn't you do something about your health? I do. He'd go to the gym. Somehow he didn't lose the weight. They got divorced. He's got to be down 100 pounds now. Now, why am I pointing that out? Because there was a pattern interrupt. He was going through his routine that he goes through because it's what he does. And suddenly, he's not married anymore. It changes things. So as a result, there's a different outcome. I see this all the time. When people are forced into a place where they're going to do something different, they make a choice. They'll do something that drags them down, or they'll do something that lifts them up. So when the story changes, the wiring changes, and when the wiring changes, the outcome changes. So if you're going to believe I'm a personal trainer who does what I do because it's what personal trainers do, then you will continue to do what you do because it's what you do. But if you start to convince yourself that you have a tremendous opportunity now because you have an ability to help people at a level that most trainers aren't, you have an opportunity to move into alliance with the medical field in a way that nobody really has before, if you believe that story, if you can see yourself running this type of business, then your mental wiring changes, you run different programs, you have different beliefs, and your outcome changes. I think it's a mistake when you do talks to dress in anything other than a shirt and tie or a really nice shirt and pants. I know everyone knows you're a personal trainer, and personal trainers are very comfortable, you know, maybe wearing a polo shirt. But when you do that, it's a pattern interrupt. People associate. It doesn't change everything. I'm not saying wearing a shirt and tie is going to change everything. I'm just saying it's one of the little differences that makes people think differently of you. And I've heard personal trainers go, no, I love the fact that I'm a personal trainer. Hey, I do too. I wear my Atomic sneakers every day. But when I'm speaking in front of a medical group, I'm wearing a shirt and tie. I could go up in warm-up clothes and Atomics. I could go up in a tank top. But there's an association that people have with that. So I think if you just start to tell your story a little differently and think differently about what you are, and you start to create in your mind what this business looks like, tell me, what does your facility look like? What does a day look like when you're in your new facility? You know, Troy, what does it look like when you're affiliating with doctors, whether they're sending you referrals or you're going to their location? Tasa, what does your club look like when you have this designated medical space? Gary, what does it look like when you have four medical relationships and you're going from place to place different days of the week to do consultations? When you get that in your head, your patterns change. But unless you do that, then you do what you do because it's what you do. So I want to leave it at that because I came from the conference this weekend not with a new goal, because I have the goal of helping you guys get over the hurdle of fear and step into the space, not because I want you to be medical professionals, but because there's tremendous opportunity for prestige and for profit. And all of you should be doing it. So if the story in your head is, I'm not ready, then that's what you believe, and then you do what you do because it's what you do. If the story in your head is, I need to make this move because people need my help, you start to take chances. And when you start to take chances, you realize even the times that you fumble, you're a little bit closer. You know, Troy, you're ahead of where you were because you sent the letters. It didn't bring you what you want, but it would be foolish to stop. So you made some phone calls. It didn't bring you what you want, but you're a little closer because you made those phone calls. Now you're going to make the phone calls differently. It will lead you to those affiliations, but you got to stay the course and you have to believe differently. Any thoughts, comments, questions about anything? Okay, I'm hoping this had some impact. I have heard a little bit from you on this concept of the National Slim Down. I have this working really well in Boca Raton, but as I shared on that call, it's a very different market. I don't think we could use that nationally. Right this minute, I am promoting the Palm Beach Slim Down, and I'm doing a seminar with Dr. DeLuca in Palm Beach Gardens on March 14th, I believe it is, March 13th or 14th. So I like the fact that we could run Facebook ads and get people. I don't yet know how to do it nationally, but I will. So if you guys have interest in participating and taking some chances and experimenting, running some ads, I would like that to be a collaboration so we can talk more about that. Until we speak again, I leave you with this command. Be better. Bye-bye, everyone.